Socrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit. Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Hailing frequencies open!
Finally!
I know, right? 2016. All right, you are listening to Technologics, listening post that goes with everything that's happened since we were on vacation. Mress and Matthias were kind enough to record the feedback so that we could listen to them in today's episode.
Which is good because I do a much better job of reading than we do.
Yeah, just as an example, I was reading that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say.
And only made like two little mistakes, barely noticeable. Don't worry about it. You're good.
I thought you were going to say you're a much better listener than you are a reader.
And that we know that's not true either.
I don't listen to people. It's too much time. All right. First up, from Cindy.
From Cindy. As Ensign Kim episodes go, Favorite Son is not the worst, in my opinion. It has Patrick Fabian, the actor who played Taman. The operations manager, Ops, has the ability to do emergency overrides. That's Harry Kim's job, even if everyone outranks him. It's not surprising that Harry would dream about his mother when he was removed from duty. How often do Harry or even B'Elanna look to Janeway as a mother figure? Very often, she replaces the mother in their respective visions or dreams. Trivia. Patricia Tallman, B5's Lita Alexander, is a stunt performer and is often seen in TNG, DS9, and Voyager.
Ah.
Trivia explained. Sonak was the Vulcan killed in the transporter accident in Star Trek The Motion Picture. I was really hoping Chris would have got this one.
Sorry.
That's it for now.
Okay, so, all right, Kim, Harry Kim. All right, so he's supposed to override everything for people?
Apparently, if that's what Ops's job is. The override button.
You mean that's his one job?
That's it. He's got one job.
The only job. The only job he has. He just has to do it.
You know, to me, I think probably the way they generated this character is that I think it's like a puppy who was taken away too early from its mom. And that is Harry Kim.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's his job.
Being a puppy that's too young?
Yeah, that was a little odd, but I would go with that.
All right, thank you, Matthias and Cindy. Next up, from Sassor.
From Sassor. I must apologize for my abrupt absence. It has been a long 4.5 months. Vulcans are dirty liars. They can say that they aren't all they want, but I want all of you to know the truth. They are lying liars who lie with lies and falsehoods.
Every 7 years, my right sidearm.
We have been bonded 6.5 years and are now expecting our first child. Being that this is the first half-Orion, half-Vulcan that I am aware of, I must request to be exempt from all experiments until the end of May. We found out that we are having a boy, and I believe that he is obviously gifted and takes after his Orion heritage, given that he is already attempting to destroy me. He will be an excellent clan member one day. That much is evident. I do have some concerns, though, and I was hoping the senior staff could help me out. How do I make sure that he knows that The Undiscovered Country is the best movie of them all? Or not. While the effects are hokey, TOS is clearly the superior series. Dr. McCoy makes this a true statement just on his own. I just won't have any idea what he's talking about. Live long and prosper, Sassor.
Okay, well, first off, I'd like to say that pregnancy experiments are the best way to make your child gifted.
That or just get bitten by a radioactive spider.
I mean, I'm sure Carrie could gift your child with things.
Things.
Okay, Sasser, if you want to come down to engineering later, I can just speed up your pregnancy so that you're done before they know.
It's too late. We already know.
All right, and let's see. How do you make sure that your child knows that Undiscovered Country is the best Star Trek? Well, I would say first,
don't show him anything else.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's probably a lot easier than mine, because I was going to say, get them well versed in Cold War politics. You know, Russia, China, United States, and after that, they'll have a better appreciation for Undiscovered Country.
You know, I was going to say, if you get a bright enough screen, you could just project it directly through your belly into the womb until the child is born.
Sound travels. So
that's right.
So you could just play it over and over and over again.
Well, but then they wouldn't see the cool special effects.
Yeah, but it would become ingrained so that they would focus on it, and that's what then they would see it after they were born. But they would have familiarity before they were born.
Oh, okay.
But then
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
But then the baby might be bonded to Kirk and Spock.
I have another way to do this, and that is to induce small shocks upon viewing anything else so that they associate it with something unpleasant. So that when they watch this, then it's pleasant.
Yeah, but then they'll hate the rest of it.
Haven't we determined that positive reinforcement is better than negative reinforcement?
I don't know. Do we still have an agony booth?
Well, we do, but that doesn't mean it's better.
She likes to revisit this experiment.
I haven't created an agony booth for just feti.
Because hopefully they haven't done anything that could possibly anger you from the womb.
We could possibly work in some transporter technology into the agony booth.
Let's not. Do that. Okay. I think at this point, stop giving Captain Chris ideas.
Completely off track.
No more ideas for Captain Chris.
All right, from Tekarangalam.
Karen Golem. Greetings, prevailers of podcasting. It is I, the Tekaran Golem. You may not have seen me around for a while. I didn't get locked in a supply closet this time. No, I've been on bonding leave with Little Tech Jr. I told the Glitter Golem to fill in for me, but I don't think he listens well, as is evidenced by my occasional tweet ever since the memoryectomy he performed. But if he wasn't quick about it. But speaking of an amateur doing a professional's job, a matter of time. I always assumed that Rasmussen simply knocked out the real time traveler. I mean, he doesn't seem like a killer. Swindler, sure, but more of an occasional opportunist. My theory is that the time traveler actually does use the duck blind invisibility, but it was inadvertently shorted out by an ill-designed, quantum-powered marshmallow toaster. With the time traveler incapacitated, he tied him up and used the key fob to find the time machine. Well, it probably took him a long time to figure out how to operate the machine, so we can assume he was feeding the guy in some jury-rigged dungeon. After so much time, Rasmussen figured out how to work the present time jumps and time jumped out, meaning that the time traveler probably starved in his dungeon. Okay, so maybe he just neglectfully killed him, but he was planning on going back, so maybe he was going to feed him when he returned. So he was only temporarily starved to death. Wow, time travel is complicated. Also, I think this explains why Picard had to step out of Rasmussen's transport. The real time traveler was a fastidious worker on a punitive schedule. So he preset the transporter as well. I'll bet he has every breakfast in his replicator programmed out weeks in advance. I actually like this episode, maybe because I watched it as a kid before such a character would be annoying, so he was just grandfathered in. Or
Maybe it's the knowledge that if I were in his place, I'd be geeking out in much the same way, asking random questions, trying to see myself into their daily lives. Well, if I weren't stunted with debilitating nervousness any time a celebrity is within 20 miles of me. But speaking of the dogs of war, Bashir and Esri, oh, that's why they're not allowed to develop their own relationship. Much in the same way the court revokes your license and takes your children away. I don't even know what the problem is. Technically, it's fine on paper. Bashir is the smooth ladies' man who's built up a tolerance for pepper spray. He would logically be awkward and uncomfortable around the girl he actually likes. And Esri is the new girl who can't yet merge her years of experience with her overwhelmed current host. She would be reasonably hesitant and nervous about forming a relationship with someone who used to be just a co-worker who regularly received the business end of her pepper spray. Sorry, UP2 has me watching season one, and that's not the Julian I like. Anyway, on paper, this works really well, but paper is thin and flimsy. And seeing it acted out, I can't quite make out what's wrong. Like when Grandma's eyes were too big and her nose was too long, and there was a strange thudding sound coming from the basement. I just can't put my finger on it. Are they acting too much like tweens on prom? Is it the dialogue? Is it the fact that they have nothing in common? Is it because we've waited 6 seasons for this fateful day? Do they have no chemistry? Is it because I still don't see what they see in each other? Is it because it lacks both romantic and sexual attraction? Seriously, why am I longing for him to pull some terribly smug pickup line and for her to swoon and giggle over it? That would be an awful scene. But at least I'd understand it. Give me the Julian who's putting some effort into getting into this woman's uniform. Give me the Anne Esri who finds something about him attractive. Be that naively falling for the line, "Did it hurt when you fell?" Or just being humored by his pitiful attempts. If there is any reason you think this couple should be together, speak now or forever hold your peace. Sexual attraction seems to be the only possible explanation for Bashri, but the only scenes we get are surprisingly sexless. Wow, I thought I was going to be defending this relationship more. It worked so well in my memories. The Quark plotline was fun, but if you watch with subtitles on, as my wife has gotten me in the habit of, they clearly state ROM during this transmission. Sheesh! There are spoilers everywhere these days. Well, I have to go now. Little Tech Jr. is now sleeping in his own quarters. We have all of the surveillance equipment up, but we've got to fireproof the ceiling. Gotta run. Tack out.
It's like The Incredibles, baby.
Yeah. Well, yes, that would make sense.
Awesome. Thank you. Next up, from Steven.
From Steven. Hello. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy your podcast. Honestly, it's a podcast that is not a podcast of news or what you do, because there's something new. So it's thirdly on my priorities, and I'm listening totally at my own pace and quite randomly. As things are at the moment, though, I'm feeling quite under the weather, and hearing people talking about Star Trek makes me feel happy. Endorphins help soothing pain, so thank you. I'm noticing you introduced me to Geos as well. I'm incorporating that into my average rating for the shows now.
Actually, your rating is going into my data sheet as well. So, thanks again. But that's it for now. Man, I wish I could go to sickbay in the 24th century.
Oh no. We don't like it when our viewers are sick. But I'm fascinated, and Carrie must have something to do with this, about how Treknologic's giving people endorphins.
Didn't you see the paperwork? She put an endorphin generator in the transmitter.
Yes. You don't know, but that's the little extra boost.
Nice.
Boost to the ratings.
Some people would say, you know, their secret ingredient is love. No, ours is just pure endorphins.
That's right.
Kind of like the idea of making Treknologic addictive.
That's right. The secret ingredient is addiction.
Okay, to go back a couple, I actually had to look this up. Ops can override other stations only to deny them if there is another station with a higher priority mission and they're both trying to use the same equipment. Ops can say, no, Khan needs that, not tactical. So they can deny tactical, but they can't take over tactical.
Khan needed it?
Khan, no, not Khan.
C-O-N-N, not K-A-H-N.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just heard, I heard Khan, because, you know, he's just going to go in and take over no matter what. So
right.
Well, I suppose then when Ops was in charge, Khan always needed it.
Yes.
So they can override the other command officers, but only to deny them if there's an overriding mission necessity.
Right. Okay.
I looked it up in the tech manual.
Cool.
And the cool thing is that he could make his own override necessity.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, from the sound of it, it sounds like Steven is new to the podcast.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
So thank you. Thank you very much. Yep. All right. Next up is from the Immortal Lenny.
From Immortal Lenny. I have listened to your podcast for some time and value your opinions and insight. I've been facing a tough decision for some time. I was never a fan of Enterprise. The possible issues with canon and what really seemed like rough acting led me to consider it almost a well-funded fan fiction, while the original series, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager were the real Star Trek. But some comments that have been made during some of your podcasts have made me reconsider my choice. What episode or episodes would you suggest to reintroduce me to that series? Thank you for your time from a troubled Star Trek fan, Immortal Lenny.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Wow.
Actually, it's an easy question, I think. I think the fourth season, I think almost everybody says that's the best season. It's where it brings reflections from Trek past/future.
Right.
Right. Star Trek series of the past that's in the future of the Enterprise.
Right.
Except the last episode. Just don't watch the last episode.
Not the last episode.
Well, yeah, and then to be fair, depending on your age demographic, season one, when they start doing the wipe it on decon, might also be good.
No. No.
I liked Enterprise, so I would just watch all of it. But
yeah, I really liked it too.
Anyone that has Phlox in it is really good.
Except when he's doing his toes.
Yeah, that's kind of rough.
But it's a good episode.
I'm pretty sure it's only one episode where he's doing his toenails, so you could just kind of grit your teeth and get through it.
But it's still a good episode.
It is an episode.
You know, much like the movie 7, which I will never watch again, because when I walked out of there, I was furious, and I get furious every time I think about it. The fact that it disturbed you is good.
I have never seen 7.
It's an amazing movie that I will never, ever, ever see again. Ever.
So I watched that movie not with a
deep, deep hatred for the villain. Like, deeply. I'm actually agitated now thinking about that movie. It was good and bad.
It was good and bad. I laughed. I cried. It became a part of me.
Clearly.
I don't think I laughed, but I may have cried.
Yes.
Okay, well, that was interesting. Yeah, no, I do say give it a try, but I also see what he means. He needs some, before he can go back and watch it all, or watch most of it, or whatever.
He needs something to give him reassurance that it's good.
Right, and he can acclimate himself to Enterprise, right? And so I think the fourth season is a good way to start. You don't need to have seen the previous seasons to start it. I don't think that first episode in season four is a continuation.
Part of the super arc things.
Maybe it is. I'd have to check. But so I would definitely go with season four. The one with the Klingons is good. The ones with the Andorians is that three episode arc is really good.
Yeah.
With the old temple with the Vulcans is really good.
Yes.
Pajem.
That's yeah, but it. I don't. That's first not season. A fourth season.
No, but apparently, that's a really good episode.
Apparently, Carbon Creek was good.
Yes, it was.
What? What? We reviewed that, didn't we?
We did. But that was one of the ones where Ben was annoyed because every time he was on one of the reviews, it was one of the like Old West ones.
It wasn't actually in space.
It was not actually a space mission. They're just on some dirt town in some planet.
There was like three or four when I was like not one of the main crew for a while. And every time I came in, I'm like, really?
We planned it that way, Ben. We wanted to see how much you really wanted it.
So season four is the one that deals with the augments, deals with Mirror Universe.
Oh, yeah, the augments one. That was great.
Yep. So all of that stuff is good, and that's all in season four.
Yeah, and any time that the Tholians are involved, those are good episodes.
Okay, but now I just would like to say, if you go and watch the best ones first, and then you go back and try to start from season one, that may annoy you.
All right, so what you're saying is...
I still think you're better off just watching it from the beginning and letting it get better as you go.
So, well, the best way to do that is go to Geos, maybe, and then order it from worst to best and start at the worst, and you just know it's going to get better each time.
That would be an interesting way to watch it. It might make some of the arcs a little confusing.
All right. Well, I think we've gone over that well enough. I hope you could take from it what you can, Immortal Lenny.
That's right.
If you need specifics, season 4, episode 4 and 6, season 4, episode 15 and 16, those are the two parts of the augment arc.
And of course, I would just say, as an immortal being, I would think you might have the time and patience to watch all of the seasons.
Maybe.
Good point.
But if you start with those four, it's one arc. It's not going to ruin the rest of it, and it's good. Those are good storylines.
All right, next up, from Karen Golem.
From to Karen Golem. Greetings, relevant reviewers of Relativity's Reviled Reveling. Oh. It is I, the to Karen Golem. I'm sure you're wondering why I gathered you all here tonight. It seems Matthias is not the only one bathing in a glittery pool of darkness. Let me start this story at an unusual place, the beginning. It was a dark and stormy night when I stepped back onto the ship. I was returning to pick up my copy of Threshold, which I'd forgotten to dispose of in some horribly fitting way. When I entered my room, there he was, lying in a pool of his own glitter, the Glitter Golem. He had been beaten, stabbed, shot, dismembered, decapitated, eviscerated, and poisoned. This could only mean one thing, attempted murder. But who did it? Was it Captain Chris? Now that he's taken command back from Brian, he must crush all possible usurpers. Perhaps he just couldn't let anyone else outshine him? Or was it Carrie, furious over all the glitter that he spews when he sneezes? Could she have tried to obliterate the illiterate litter bug? Or could it be Mike? Or should I say, one of the Mikes? Murder Mike has been laying low for a while. Perhaps he sprung up to sprinkle the space with a splattering of glitter. Or was it Bill? Was his musical malice maimed by... Oh, right, he's gone. Was it Ben,
whose endless insistence on policy and procedure concluded that the glittery golem made for regulation ruination. He attempted to delete this demonic debacle before it defaced the decrees of decency. While I leave you to ponder your possible peccadillos, let's talk about the finale of Deep Space Nine. First of all, Julian and Esri are not that bad. Yeah, this apparently was the only memories that I had of those two. And they aren't too bad now. I guess instead of diffusing sexual tension by doing the deed, they actually infused their relationship with some. I remember really disliking the episode when I first watched it. I'm a man who likes short goodbyes and succinct finales. This was far from that. It kept going on and on, and I'm used to the wrap-up at 45 minutes. I suppose that puts me in Bill's camp. Hi, Bill. I think the best finale I've seen has to be Breaking Bad. Without spoiling it, it wraps up many of its plot lines before the ending, to the point that it's surprising just how little needs to be said at the end. I personally like the structure of Voyager's finale. I think it just needed an epilogue episode. And when I saw What You Leave Behind this time, it sort of breaks down into a finale and an epilogue. I mean, I wish they were outright separate episodes, because watching them back to back is too long. But there you go. Sorry, I got sidetracked. I do love this finale. I love the final goodbyes. I love the resolution. Odo negotiating the ceasefire is very Star Trek, if you ask me. I love that so many characters leave and yet so many stay. Out of all the Star Trek series, this was the one with the most closure. And I don't care who I offend, I'm glad they killed Damar. Okay, I'm backing away from that statement a bit. I like Damar's arc, but I also like it when the characters die at the end of series. And I'm not a big fan of someone's form of death being measured against their importance / likability. In real life, I want to believe that any character can die as quickly and unceremoniously as the unpaid extras in the background. It's a comforting thought that helps me sleep at night. I also like how the end of the series is hung on the transformation of many cultures. Klingon culture finally gains an honorable leader. The Ferengi become more socially minded. The Cardassians must rebuild their planet with humility and respect. The Bajorans joined the Fed, never mind, still working towards joining, and DS9 is under the command of a Bajoran now. And the Founders aren't trying to kill all the Solids. I bet the Jem'Hadar are feeling pretty useless right now. Anyway, great action, great resolution. Out of all the Trek series without a Luffy follow-up, DS9 was the one that I wanted most, but the one that was needed least. And back to our little mystery. The attempted murderer is none of you. Yeah, I just spoke with the glitter golem. I probably should have asked him first, but he was busy rebuilding himself. Apparently, it was that Nausicaan again, trying to wring money out of me. Maybe if I give him more Federation secrets to sell, he'll take the hint and leave me alone. Talk out.
So, with characters, you know, important / likability being related to their death, I would just like to say, I think most people don't watch Star Trek for how much it's like real life.
What?
People don't say, wow, that is so much exactly like my real life that I live every single day.
That's
so
why I watch Star Trek.
I can't get enough.
My favorite part is when characters on Star Trek randomly die for no reason.
My favorite thing is where they sit down to write a report and it takes them as long as it would take them to actually write it.
All right, so, Mike.
You know what? Today's episode covers that, Carrie.
I don't know what this episode is. Oh, you're talking about this episode of The Listening Post?
Sure.
All right, so, I have no idea what I was going to say.
You were going to ask me something about real life?
Nope, because you know nothing about real life.
Exactly.
All right, next up is from... wait, there's too many Tekker Angulums here.
It's Steven.
Okay.
Steven.
How do you know? Or are you just deciding it for him?
From the Netherlands. isn't this our person from the Netherlands?
I'm not sure if this is the same Stephen. We'll have to find out.
Well, if it is, if it is the person from the Netherlands, it's not the same Stephen because it's Steven.
Well, no, if it is the person from the Netherlands, then it is the same Stephen who's Steven.
Now I have the Steven Universe theme song stuck in my head.
Oh, wait, wouldn't it be Steven?
Yes, Steven. That's what I said. It rhymes with Raven. Now do you have That So Raven stuck in your head, Ben?
Okay.
Because I don't know that theme song.
Can I start? Can I play the clip now?
All right, next up. From Steven.
Or Steven.
From Steven. Hello. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy your podcast. Honestly, it's podcast that is not a podcast with news or what you do. Because there's something new.
You've heard that one.
Thirdly, on my priorities, and I'm...
He's just restating it.
From Steven. Hello. I just wanted to say that I really...
Not only is it the same Steven... Steven, it's the same message. So we can skip that one.
Okay. Nice. Well, it's because now we can say that his name correctly.
Well, we don't. We assume his name. Yeah.
Actually, he put underneath his signature that how to pronounce his name. That's how I know.
Oh, okay.
Ha! See?
You didn't say you'd done research.
No, you're just supposed to trust my omnipotence.
Oh, that's right. Except for, you know, that's not true either.
Yeah, no, it's true. You don't trust anyone's omnipotence.
Is somebody loading a grill with coal or something?
Yes. Really?
It's Ben.
Gotta remember that, Ben.
Gotta remember your mute doesn't actually mute.
Well, you have to mute yourself in Skype if you're basically going to do anything.
Yeah, if you're going to, you know, move water down right in front of your monitor or...
His old headset broke, so now he's got a new one where the microphone is so freaking sensitive, it picks up, like, his clothing moving.
Yeah, Chris has one like that, too. It drives me crazy.
All right, next up from Matthias.
Now, the next question is, do you want to read your own email and let me take the next two?
No, I want you to read it.
Okay. Let's see, but let's have a go at this. So, from Matthias. Hey, y'all. How are you doing? Unfortunately, I didn't get a Texan accent. In fact, I wasn't even in the States this year. Oh. Yes, I know I've been talking about it all year, but sometimes fate just hits you very hard. A few months after my announcement that I would go to the States in October, I got a letter from my landlord. In short, he threw me out of my apartment.
Ooh.
So I had to look for a new one. In the town I'm living in, it is very difficult to find one. So my brother gave me some shelter for a few months. In Germany, it is custom that you have to give your landlord 2 months of rent in advance before you are allowed to sign a new contract. So I had to save up some money. At least until I had 3 months of rent on my account, two for the advance payment and one for the first month. So now that's settled, and I'm still looking for a new apartment, but I can at least start saving to come to Texas next year. I loved your review of the Voyager episode, Favorite Son. It had me laughing so hard that people in my work looked at me rather strangely. I didn't like this episode very much. It was boring for the most part. If I was Harry, and if I would see all those women falling for me, I'd say, are you doing a Tom Paris on me? Every time they try to give Harry a little luck with the opposite sex, it seems the writers at the last moment say, nope, sorry, we love you, Garrett, but that just wouldn't fit you. Better luck next time. He seems to be looking for love in all the wrong places. My rating is a 3. Now for the German episode name. This is not a word-for-word translation, and it almost spoils the episode again. It is called Die Neue Identität, which means the new identity. As you can see, my email address has changed, but please don't put me in spam. It's really still me. Now to a more serious matter. When I heard that there would be a new Star Trek series, I was totally hyped for it. But the broadcasting gives me trouble. Does that mean Germans or other European countries are not going to be able to watch the new series? I know for a fact that I can't watch AMC's The Walking Dead on their homepage because they recognize my IP address and are aware that it is from Germany. So every time I want to watch a video, it says, this video is not available in this country. Even the WWE network is not subscribable in Germany. So in other words, will there be no way for us to watch it? If so, I think it sucks. CBS better think of a way to get every one of the Star Trek fans involved. I don't mind paying an extra fee if it is a good series. Make it available on iTunes or something. I don't even mind having to wait until it is released in Germany. But please, no only American streaming. That's just unfair to other countries. Well, that's it from me. Love long and prosper.
Wow, I didn't even think about other countries. I mean, yeah. That's typically American, I guess. Don't think of other countries.
That's very American to not think of other countries.
But the bad part is it really does seem like it was implied by the reports so far that it's going to only stream in the United States.
Which is terrible.
It is terrible.
And not inclusive and not at all what Star Trek is about.
I mean, I haven't ever looked on iTunes to see if they have CBS shows. But if they do, then at least there's a hope that it might go there eventually.
And I totally do not condone looking for a pirate site that has them.
No.
I would never condone that, because that would be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But well, CBS really should get it to everyone somehow.
Yes.
You know, I've heard there's something called a virtual private network.
Yes. Where you can...
I'm not sure what that is.
Where you can appear to be from the United States, even if you are not.
I don't know what you're talking about at all. No.
But most likely you wouldn't be able
to it up.
Use big VPN handlers. You'd have to do something that's relatively unknown, and therefore IP isn't already banned.
Right.
And we totally do not condone that you look into that if you're interested in watching that series.
Oh, I was just talking between you guys. I wasn't talking about the email.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to come to Texas, we do have some conventions here. We can handle that. There's South by Southwest. There's Comic-Palooza. That's a huge convention. I know we've got some Star Trek people coming to that one. So welcome. Get a place to stay permanently first.
Yes.
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 Because you do not want to stay permanently in Texas.
Oh, no. All right. Next up, Takaran Golem.
From Takaran Golem. Good thanks, Relativity Riders. It is I, the Takaran Golem. I've just arrived from a giving of thanks with my family. Yes, we managed to get 4 generations of statues together. This is quite a rarity for us. Between erosion and the falling of empires, you're lucky to get 2 or 3 generations in the same place. Anyway, what's going on in the news? Favorite Son was reviewed. I'll have to leave my commentary on that. And let's see, Star Trek's getting a new series? I must talk about this. I must expound endlessly. But first, let's talk about Kim's episode. Truth be told, as a kid, I sort of liked it. But I was 9 years old at the time, and I knew just enough about DNA and Star Trek technobabble to understand what they meant. And for a kid who has spent 9 years having to ask what's going on, it was really cool to feel like I got it on my own. And what kid doesn't have a fantasy about finding out that they're special? I mean, so many movies today are all about the one person who's so special that everything around them is directly connected to it. The new Spider-Man movie suggests that Peter was destined to be the web-slinger rather than random chance. Trek 09 was all about how Kirk was destined to be given captaincy, because he couldn't be asked to earn it. And I won't say anything about the new Bond film, but what I'm saying is, so much of Hollywood is pandering at the favorite son level of storytelling. Plus, it seemed like a cool game to be one of the few guys on a planet that needed them, for reasons that escaped me. Then my prepubescent mind wondered about how strangely unfair it was, gender-wise, and wondered if there was going to be a reverse planet for the women. Of course, I had no concept of what pandering was, so I just went along for the ride. And so I followed along, suspecting that these women have to be bad guys. But come on, I'm a kid, and they're adults. Surely they'd know better than I. And voila, they were the bad guys, and I was just so satisfied outthinking Star Trek for once. But towards the end, it was getting a little bit boring. What with all the talk of cootie transference. What we need here is some action, and voila again. We get some stage combat that would only be convincing to a 9-year-old. Brilliant. Yeah, I had some really positive memories just waiting to shatter when I watched this again as an adult. Now I can talk about the new Star Trek series. There's going to be a new Star Trek series! Static and scared, and ex-scaredastic.
Ex-scaredastic.
So much. And what little we do know, well, I don't know. First of all, they hired one half of the writing team behind the new Star Trek movies. So while I'm hopeful for a Prime Universe series, well, they didn't hire him for his work on TNG. And his repertoire is unsettling. Transformers, Amazing Spider-Man, The Island, Cowboys and Indians. Oh, boy. And nothing in the TV section made me sit up either. But he's a producer, so it's hard to extrapolate anything tangible there. And then there is the CBS All Access, which I'm still not happy about. Now I'm trying to be positive about it, but I can't help also feeling uneasy there, too. When I heard of it, I first thought of the Three Stooges. Not the one where they're in court, that's a good one, too, but the situation they found themselves in. For those who don't know, they were stuck in a pretty bad contract where they were forced to only make low-budget shorts that are shown before the movies. Even though they were quite popular, the studio used them to force theaters to buy their bad movies instead of letting them make movies on their own. And now I fear that they might be tempted to use the popularity of Star Trek to force people to buy a bad subscription service just to watch their beloved show, that they may or may not be given proper resources to be good. Why waste money making a good Star Trek series when X number of Trekkies will watch it regardless of quality? On the other hand, this may be good. Star Trek has always had a niche appeal that doesn't speak to the lowest common denominator, i.e. CBS's target demographic. So it may benefit being on the internet where it can rely on its own unique appeal for viewers. My other fear is that it'll try too hard to be a water cooler centerpiece, trying to wear the various hats associated with Trek without the core, exploring controversial subjects by loosely inferring them, but adding no commentary or insight. Or always trying to trigger key phrases like, did you see that twist coming? Do you think X and Y will get back together? Oh man, the current captain is so renegade. He's totally a Kirk. What do you think the big bad guy this season will be? Ugh, I can't believe X betrayed Y like that. But I guess Zed was lying to him, so it's okay. I want real deep storytelling, not pandering to Twitter posts. So Star Trek is going to change, and I'm fine with that. I'm just hoping it won't change into what the current trends are, but we'll try to forge a new identity. And I'm hopeful and excited for the new series. This will be Little Tack's generation of Trek. Well, my crevices are stuffed with turkey, so I better leave. Tack out.
Okay, yeah. All right, so I guess we should talk about the next series a little bit. All right, and so I am certain we're going to review it. And I guess what we're going to do to review it is we probably won't have many clips because we'll want to turn it around quickly, right?
I guess. Well,
the other thing we can do... Go ahead.
How quickly are we going to turn it around? I mean, we can't be, like, reviewing it the day after, because people may not have even seen it yet.
You know, for the new series, is that what we're talking about right now?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I think, this is my opinion, that we should do the 6-month rule. So 6 months after it starts, we can start reviewing it.
That gives
people time to watch, especially if they're not in the U.S.
Yeah.
And they're making them wait an extended amount of time.
Okay, so there is that. And also, but how about when it first comes out, just a mini review, non-spoiler mini review?
Well, we could maybe make that part of whatever review we're doing for the week.
Well, these are going to be coming out weekly, right? Well, of course, it could be all in one shot, too, but I doubt it.
Oh, right. But, you know, I mean, like, when we get to the, you know, captain's notes section at the end of our review that we're doing, we can talk about the two episodes that happened in between our recordings.
All right. Well, all right, everybody, let us know what you think. And we'll proceed from there. I mean, we still got 11 months or so. All right. Next up is...
Last one.
Trek 2.
From Trek 2. Hello, crew. Oh, boy. Where to start? I don't actually have much to say about the DS9 arc. Because, to be honest, I hated those episodes when they first aired, and I still can't stand watching them without going on a rant about how much I hate the ending of DS9. That's not to say that they are bad as such, and believe me, they aren't. But the way they dealt with Sisko is just so not Trek, in my opinion. I also never liked the whole Dukat evil Bajoran gods with unspellable names arc. But that's not really the matter here. I get that there may have been the desire to have a counterpoint to the optimistic and feel-good ending of TNG, but I think the ending took things too far, and the last few minutes of What You Leave Behind ruin the entire arc for me. Looking back at it now, a cakes, sunshine, and rainbow ending wasn't on the cards for most of the season. But man, I would complain less about this if they'd have had Sisko do the noble sacrifice instead. Looks at email. So much for not saying much about this. Shockwave. I love this two-parter for all its flaws. First, though, I agree with the idea that the temporal Cold War was too poorly executed. I think they tried too much to cater to the established Trekkies, same as the relaunch is trying too hard to get new viewers. Because of that, they had a declining viewer base. Not only because the first season wasn't that good, but also because many Trekkies grow out of it as they get older. And by the time they caught on to it, it was too late and the show got canned. What also sort of bugs me is that the ruined city doesn't really give me the sense of being Trekverse San Francisco. True, it was ruined and changed by time travel. But if it was me doing this episode, I would include a few landmarks or winks that tell you where we are, such as, say, the ruined grounds of Starfleet Academy or the Golden Gate Bridge in the distance. Note, though, that there may have been landmarks I didn't recognize, as I'm not from the city. During the sequence in Daniel's quarters, supposedly there is the schematics of an Intrepid-class starship visible, but despite repeating viewings, I have yet to find it. Oh well, one day the show will be in my Blu-ray collection. That's something else I would have done differently, i.e., I would have had a refit constitution visible, but here is mostly personal taste. The logic flaws you mentioned didn't actually occur to me until I listened to the podcast, mostly because, like you, I have a mental backlog of Trek facts that make me not see them. I also agree with Mike on people liking old things. I'm not one of them, mostly because there is no way I'd have space for physical copies of all the books on my Kindle phone. But I think he's right. I could also see paper libraries as a seed vault type of deal, like that facility in Norway. At any rate, there was an awesome fan fiction, I think it may have been a novel, that explained that the dude from the future was two people. First, a Romulan officer trying to make the Empire win the Earth-Romulan War, and later none other than Captain Picard, who uses it to restore the timeline after thwarting the Romulan plan.
Cool.
No more to say. Live long and podcast, Tretch You.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say thanks again to Maress and Matthias for reading those for us.
Yeah. Excellent job.
Woohoo! I could just sit back and relax. That's the type of captaincy I like.
Of course it is.
All right, so that wraps us up for this week, month, vacation.
Did you say this week, month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a week, month.
Does that mean it's like 4 months?
Yeah. Oh, a week,
or
month.
Or 7 months.
That's cool.
You know, and actually, February is a stronger month this year than it usually is.
It is.
So, is that because we took a week, month vacation?
Yeah.
So that makes it stronger in February?
No, because it's got 29 days this year.
Oh.
Well, they should just be glad we didn't take a fort month off.
Yes.
A little bit longer than a year.
Oh.
All right. So next up is, hey, you can give us feedback by giving us an iTunes review, by emailing us at podcast@Treknologic. You can tweet us at Treknologic. We're on Facebook, and our Treknologic forum is at treknologic.com. Thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. Until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Treknologic, including the people that are not here, love long and prosper.
Oh, you know what you didn't ask?
Yeah, wait. If email us at feedback@treknologic.com.
That's
I don't
true.
Know. That old podcast at treknologic.com email is like a virus. I don't know, or a bad penny or something. It keeps getting back in these documents somehow.
It's emails at feedback, but you also didn't ask me if there were any iTunes reviews.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. There have been so...
Yeah, you know what? Neither did
I. Why? Because we always kind of feel like Lucy holding the football for us when we ask you that.
Well, that's okay. Chris didn't remember it, and apparently neither did any of the listeners, because there's nothing new.
Okay, see? And she pulls the football away.
Thank you, Lucy.
Yeah. Now we need to end the episode with the peanut song. The sad song.
Right.